Chapter 5. Lucy. Cherry Chip Cake. Lucy followed Skip home, trying to make sense of her life and how it had fallen apart. Where had she and John gone wrong? 4 nights ago, they'd broken up over her cherry chip cake. Literally, over her cake. Lucy had been standing on one side of the table, John on the other, when he'd said those earth-shattering words, "I want to be alone." She had so many happy memories and birthdays tied to her annual cherry chip cake. How could it now be linked to 5 such devastating words? She had turned 32 3 weeks ago, but she'd had a cold, so they decided to celebrate her birthday once she was feeling better. So on Wednesday night, she came home after a hectic evening at San Francisco General, overrun with flu victims in the emergency room, and was welcomed by the smell of the warm Betty Crocker cherry chip cake. The sight of Skip salivating and John putting on the frosting made her heart melt. "He did this for me." Like he had every year they'd been together, because he knew the real story behind the cake. Ditching her coat and purse, she did a happy dance into the kitchen, where John surprised her by saying, "I made it different this year." "What? Why?" "Something is wrong." When she was 10 years old, her life changed forever when her mom greeted her after school with her first ever cherry chip cake. The real gift had been mom's clear, gentle smile on her birthday. Usually it was Aunt Eve and not mom who made her feel special on her birthday. She would also receive a birthday card from her dad, a long-haul truck driver, postmarked from somewhere on the road. His card always started with, "Happy birthday from somewhere in..." But all her life, off and on in what seemed like 2-week intervals, her mom refused to leave her dark bedroom, where she either slept or sobbed while listening to the same sad songs over and over. This was nothing new, the sobbing over her latest breakup or her messed up life. Neither was the mania that often dragged her out of her sad cocoon. But on that 10th year, Mom had asked her, "You know what today is?" A trick question, for sure. She'd been afraid to answer. Her mom's calm smile and mellow energy threw her off. "Where is Aunt Eve?" she asked her mom. Aunt Eve always knew what to say and how to manage Mom's feelings. Lucy's birthday was not something her mom had celebrated up to that point. "Without Aunt Eve's help," Lucy whispered, "my birthday." She wasn't sure what her mom was going to say and was ready to run to her bedroom and hide until Aunt Eve came home. She wasn't afraid of her mom hurting her. She was afraid of making her mom sad again. Too many times on Lucy's birthday, her mom had said, "I ruined my life because of a stupid one-night stand." Or on the years she'd been manic, she always said, "The sparks flew and an egg was fertilized when I was a waitress at Boomtown Casino in Northern Nevada." But that year was different. After setting the first ever cherry chip cake on the table and kneeling, her mom had said, "Today is the day we celebrate you being you for the rest of our lives, okay? I'm sorry I'm late to the party." Party? Lucy had never had a birthday party before. "You mean I get a real birthday party?" She crossed her fingers, hoping she hadn't said the wrong thing. If she got this wrong, Mom's unexpected happiness would disappear. "When Eve comes home, we will blow out candles, have cake, and open your present." Lucy could hardly breathe. A present? They had presents before, mostly on Christmas, but not consistently. Each holiday was different, driven by resources and rotating friends and sometimes even her mother's rotating boyfriends. The only constants in the first 10 years of her life had been Aunt Eve's love of Harlequin romances and her dad's postcards and child support checks. But on that day, long ago, Mom had followed through on her promise. When Aunt Eve got home, the three of them took turns blowing out candles and making wishes. Lucy had wished to never celebrate another birthday without a cherry chip cake. She couldn't even remember what her present had been, but she would always remember the cake. Later that night, her aunt told her that her mom had a new doctor and that everything would be better from then on. Lucy had wrapped up all her mom's changes and how much better life had been after that into the delicious cherry chip cake her mom baked every year until Lucy left home for college. It was their one and only tradition. The cake was exactly as Betty Crocker intended it to be, made year after year. Perfect expectations in a box. When she had first confided in John about her history and the cake, he had said, "Honey, you can count on me to make you a cherry chip cake every year." The day John broke up with her, she had thought her horoscope was about her career change. Taurus, changes are difficult for you, but be open. Sometimes the sweetest rewards begin as bittersweet change. She had thought the reference to bittersweet change was about leaving her coworkers behind or turning another year older. She would never have guessed her horoscope was about her cake, or that her cake was about her relationship. Why? Why, after 10 years of care, had John put jam in her cake? For a moment, the nervous fear she'd had as a child when her mom had been sick resurfaced. Her gut whispered, "The cake is different because John is different." John had been out of sorts for several weeks, but she'd chalked his moodiness up to stress about his promotion and his new responsibilities at the law firm. But he was breaking tradition, and that was unlike him. Bits of cake and jam stuck to the knife as she pulled it from the cake. She stared carefully at him. John looked uncharacteristically smug, a challenging glint in his eyes. "Are you okay, honey?" she asked. "What's that supposed to mean?" "I don't know. You've never messed with my cake before." She didn't know how else to explain that the cake, all of a sudden, felt like a bad omen. "And that means something's wrong with me?" "No, I mean, yes. The past several weeks you've seemed stressed, and every time I've tried to talk to you about it, you've changed the subject, and..." She looked helplessly at the cake. "You said you would always make my cherry chip cake," she said. She'd hated feeling 10 years old again. "And I did," he said. "But John, it's not the same. You know what's important to me," she said. "What's the big deal?" he asked. "It's just a stupid cherry chip cake." "What's the big deal?" she repeated. "Are you serious right now?" John glared at her. Skip slunk out of the room, tail tucked between his legs as if he'd been the one to put the jam in the cake. "Even Skip knows not to mess with my cake," she said. John snapped. "God, why do you always cry as soon as you don't get your way?" Lucy had always prided herself on being a generous and patient person, especially with the man she loved. He'd wanted to wait until he was a partner with the firm before getting married. Okay, she had waited. They couldn't afford a transfer from trauma to lower-paid geriatrics until he was partner. She waited again. She never asked for anything. She never even pestered him about his long hours at the office. "Why can't you ever try something new? This stupid cake. If you want someone to make you a cake every year, you damn well should let them try something new and not keep eating this boring cake over and over. And you shouldn't complain when someone does something for you. Be grateful. Jesus." John picked up the entire thing and dropped it in the garbage can. "So this is definitely not about my cake." It seemed that John had turned the cake into a tool, a weapon, some message for her. She wasn't sure how change came into it. They'd made their plans together, hadn't they? They were both planners. They wanted the same things and had been focused on their careers. And she was the last person who needed to be told to be grateful. Everything she did and worked for, everything she'd planned for, was out of gratitude for their life together. "I shouldn't complain?" She stood to her 2-foot, 5-foot-1-inch height and glared up at him. "When it's my cake and I only have it once a year, I can. I don't need you to use my cake to teach me something. My birthday cake is about me. You changing it, that's about you." John wiped his hands on a towel and sighed. "I'm sorry, you're right." But she'd been so stupid. His capitulation should have been a warning sign. The lawyer in him was usually determined to be right. In fact, he often pushed until the other person admitted they were wrong. All of a sudden, he looked so sad, so unlike the man who had been by her side for 10 years. So she had retreated and said, "I guess there's always next year." And she had meant it, because they would finally be getting married in 5 months, October, and going to Australia. Only an hour earlier, their smoker-voiced 70-year-old travel agent had left a message using the worst faux Australian accent ever.
"G'day, mate. Crikey, only 152 days before you leave for your honeymoon walkabout."
But John shook his head. He leaned over the table and caressed her cheek. He dropped his hand and said, "I'm sorry. I can't do this anymore." Fighting over her cake was picking at the memory scabs of tiptoeing around Mom's depression from days of yore. "Me neither. I hate it when we fight. Let's take Skip for a walk and start the night over." And when the tension eased and tradition and cake didn't confuse the issue, she would ask him again what was bothering him. Except John had something else in mind. "No, I mean, I can't do this." He pointed from his chest to hers, then back to his own. "I can't believe I'm going to say this, but I need to be alone." Skip returned to the kitchen and stood close to John, staring up at him and whining. John pushed Skip aside, rushed into the hallway, grabbed his keys, and left the apartment without looking back. She and Skip stood in the hall, staring at the closed door. "What just happened?" she asked Skip, and the room at large. She looked down at Skip, but he refused to meet her eyes. John was gone for hours. He ignored her calls and texts. Lucy tried to wait up for him, but finally fell asleep before he got home. And when she got up for work the next day, he was sound asleep on the couch. All these years, they'd never slept apart. She hoped he'd had the time alone he needed. She couldn't wait to talk to him and find out what was bothering him. But she left him to rest. Next to laughter, sleep was the best medicine. She should never have left, but it had been her last day at the hospital, so she could hardly call in. He didn't call her that day, and when she saw him on Thursday night after work, he made it clear that he needed much more than a few hours to himself. He was leaving her. Leaving her. He'd found an apartment that day, he said. An apartment? What? What do you mean you found an apartment? We have one together. He only said, "I want to be alone." "You're seriously leaving me? Without even telling me what's gone wrong?" she asked. "You're throwing us away?" "I need to be alone," he said again. And just like that, he left, saying he'd be back to get his stuff and return the keys by Monday. Except for his bike, he'd removed all his belongings. So far, he hadn't returned his keys, but maybe he had intended to do so tonight before Skip went bonkers and barked him out of the apartment. Between her teeter-tottering feelings of defiance that she didn't need John, anger that he would be back and this heartache would have been for nothing, and despair that he eventually might return his keys, proving he was truly breaking up and didn't love her, Lucy racked her brain trying to figure out where they had gone wrong. How could a cherry chip cake undo us?